This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky.
Greetings. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and this is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist. And we hope someday you will join us. Above us, only sky. We hope you will join us. This show is produced, Free Thought Radio is produced by the Freedom From Religion Foundation. It's a membership organization of atheists and agnostics working to keep religion and government separate, and, as the show does, to educate the public about the views of those of us who are non-religious, totally secular Americans.
Now, Dan, you told me you have a 95-year-old joke.
A joke about a 95-year-old. Yeah, thank you, listeners, for sending in those jokes. Keep them coming. This 95-year-old man went into the confessional booth, and he sat down and he said to the priest, "Last night, I spent the night with a beautiful 21-year-old woman." And the priest said, "How long has it been since your last confession?" And the 95-year-old said, "Confession? I'm not Catholic. I'm an atheist." And the priest said, "Well, then why are you telling me this?" And he said, "I'm telling everybody."
Okay, we'll be talking about the Christian Science Lobby in Congress right now and the trouble it's causing. But in a few minutes, we'll talk about the trouble the Christian Science Lobby is causing in Wisconsin, in particular with Sean Peters.
Sean Peters is the author of the book, When Prayer Fails, Faith Healing, Children, and the Law. We'll talk with him on the second half of today's show.
And we have lots of news, and some of it is related to the Christian Science Lobby, before we get to that interview.
A brief comment on the latest senseless shooting in the name of religion in this country by Major Nidal Malik Hassan. As you know, he killed 13 people at Fort Hood, Texas, six of them from the state of Wisconsin.
Hassan was a military, I think it was a psychiatrist, and he went into the processing center at Fort Hood a week ago Thursday, prayed for a few seconds, then drew his pistol and said, "Allahu Akbar."
And that means God is great. Well, here is a little bit of what President Barack Obama said about that massacre this past week.
"It may be hard to comprehend the twisted logic that led to this tragedy, but this much we do know. No faith justifies these murderous and craven acts. No just and loving God looks upon them with favor. For what he has done, we know that the killer will be met with justice in this world and the next."
So it is hard to comprehend the twisted logic, and no faith can justify this act. But faith definitely seemed to trigger this man to go trigger happy in the first place.
And of course, contrary to what Obama said, we don't know that there is a next world, much less that there would be any justice in it. As Thoreau first said, let's take it one world at a time, and maybe we'd all be a lot more peaceable.
The big news of last weekend, of course, was passage by the House of the health care reform bill. Thanks to Nancy Pelosi, it was devoid of the special privileges written into it initially for the Christian Science Church.
And we'll talk about that in a few minutes.
But we saw the betrayal of women and their rights by the House, with full credit given to the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops for writing in language that is the broadest attack on abortion rights in our country in many years.
As you know, this provision would block the use of any federal subsidies of insurance to cover abortion procedures. Abortion would be barred from the public option, and this action would invite insurers to drop abortion from their plans in order to sell their coverage to the expanded market of people who will receive subsidies. Under the House plan, that would be any family of four earning less than $88,000. Listen to what Rachel Maddow said on Meet the Press last Sunday, talking about what this means.
And that's that abortion provision, the STUPAC amendment, is going to be
Doesn't allow money for abortions except in the cases of rape and incest,
it's,
right?
It's the biggest restriction on abortion funding since the Hyde Amendment. It's the biggest restriction on abortion access in this country in a generation.
Now, both sides on this debate were openly crediting the Roman Catholic Church, and beginning in July, bishops started issuing a series of what the New York Times called increasingly stern letters to lawmakers that the abortion financing issue was the deal breaker. And even at the funeral of Senator Edward M. Kennedy, Cardinal Sean O'Malley of the Boston Archdiocese met with President Obama to warn him that bishops could not support his health care overhaul if it included any abortion coverage.
If you're a fan of Rachel Maddow's TV and Air America radio shows, you'll know that it's not just Catholic bishops, but the Protestant evangelicals. Representative Bart Stupak of Michigan, the author of the Stupak Amendment Against Abortion Coverage, has a connection with that infamous C Street house owned by this stealth religious right group known as The Family. Stupak not only works with this group, he lives there, and a bunch of the other boosters of the Stupak Amendment are likewise part of this religious, cultish, family, C Street alliance.
It's quite a story here about how religion rules Congress, and let's turn to that other question of the moment, which is the amendment in the Senate version to reward Christian Science practitioners.
Here's some coverage of the Freedom From Religion Foundation's protest of this out of ABC News 15 in Phoenix.
Little notice provision on prayer in the health care reform bill is stirring up big debate. In tonight's critical condition report, ABC 15's Jody Heisner explains who would benefit and why some are fighting to have it removed.
Rich Evans is a member of the Christian Science Church, a small church whose members pay people to pray for their healing.
Healing in Christian Science is the proof that helps us demonstrate what Christian Science stands for.
A provision in the health care reform bill would require insurers to consider covering Christian Science prayer treatments.
It's important that we keep spiritual care at the table, not just for Christian Scientists, but for the public.
It wouldn't add much to the overall cost of the bill.
The fees that we charge are so modest. I mean, I charge, for example, around $25 a day.
But the provision is raising controversy surrounding the separation of church and state. Plus, the church isn't mentioned by name in the bill. Opposition say that allows other churches to seek reimbursement. The most vocal group, Freedom From Religion, is asking people to write Congress, saying government should not be forcing taxpayers or insurance companies to pay for prayer. Evans says the IRS already allows prayer treatments to be counted as itemized medical expenses. He says no matter what happens,
it's not about whether or not Christian Scientists can practice Christian Science. We would regardless. We were before, we will after.
If Freedom From Religion gets their way, they'll be practicing without insurance coverage. In Scottsdale, Jody Heisner, ABC 15 News.
KSRO Radio in Sonoma, California also interviewed me about this topic, and we have that sound clip.
Joining us on the live line to discuss this morning is Annie Laurie Gaylor, a co-president of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, a group of atheists and agnostics that promotes separation of church and state. Ms. Gaylor, welcome to KSRO. Nice to have you with
us. Thank you very much.
We appreciate your time and your thoughts here. Let me ask you what this bill would do that is not done currently.
It would require, Congress would mandate that private insurers reimburse Christian Science, quote-unquote, practitioners, health practitioners, and all they do is pray. And that would be a total change from anything this country has ever done before, and it would be like inviting more youth, neglect of children in the name of religion. We've got hundreds of children who have died because their parents thought it was a sin to take them to the doctor. They were supposed to instead pray to God to heal their children. And it's countless tragedies that could have been avoided. And it would actually reward religious groups that actually explicitly tell parents not to take their children to the doctor, but instead to pray, not even to go for medical evaluation when they're seriously ill.
So these people would essentially be treated as though they're medical personnel.
Well, it would be Congress meddling with private insurers and telling them you have to reimburse if they meet certain IRS provisions. And in this case, it appears only the Christian Science Church meets those provisions, but the other ones will follow suit. And to give you an example, there was a little boy, Ian Holmes, in Minnesota, whose parents were Christian Science. He had diabetes. They didn't treat him for diabetes. They didn't take him in. They instead hired a Christian Science practitioner who prayed over him while he died. 11. Painful, unnecessary death. And then they billed the parents more than $400. This is what Congress would be saying has to be reimbursed by healthcare practitioners, healthcare companies. And this would raise all of our rates. It would basically be all of the rest of us subsidizing this kind of negligent treatment of children.
So we have two religious attacks on healthcare to debate next week in the Senate. The religious right Protestant and the overpowerful Catholic Church gunning for abortion rights. At the same time, the Christian Science is wanting to force the subsidy of prayer as medicine.
I'm Annie Laura Geller with Dan Barker. Coming up, some of the press coverage from the Freedom From Religion Foundation's fantastic national convention in Seattle last weekend. All of the speakers were superb, including Ron Reagan and Ursula K. Le Guin. We'll also play our annual Moment of Bedlam, the Foundation's way to fight back against those ubiquitous prayer breakfasts.
I'm Michael Newdow, and this is Free Thought Radio.
Beware of dogma, it has a bite. Beware of dogma, it wants a fight.
Margaret Sanger's motto was, "No gods, no masters."
And I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Coming up, we're going to talk with Sean Peters about his book, When Prayer Fails, and about the Christian Science Lobby's fight to privilege faith-healing parents.
Now, the 32nd Annual Convention of the Freedom From Religion Foundation was held last weekend in Seattle, standing room only, more than 600. And we greeted our convention goers with our new bus sign, It's Beautiful, showing Santa saying, "Yes, Virginia, there is no God." And it's a play on that famous newspaper column. We always hear about it at Christmas, "Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa." And they're really beautiful signs on 100 Seattle buses and 300 pretty quotation signs in the interior.
And they show it on the news coverage that night. They show it the buses going by with our signs. So let's play a little bit of Como TV Seattle news coverage of our convention.
Hundreds of people are gathering in Seattle this weekend to hear a strong message about faith.
No one in the audience believes in God. Como 4's Theron Zahn reports on the Freedom From Religion convention.
The evidence around them.
Hundreds of non-believers pack a downtown ballroom. The Freedom From Religion Foundation is a national group of over 16,000 people who say faith in God is a waste of time.
Most of our members are atheists and agnostics and who find the Bible to be ludicrous and dangerous, and we should say so in a free society. Why not say that?
And they've been saying it all over town with these bus boards. The signs are not just anti-Christmas, but anti-Christ. Freedom From Religion says its biggest mission is to watchdog government, keeping religion out of lawmaking.
With less religion and with less God and with less belief, there's more opportunity for morality, more opportunity for knowledge, more opportunity for true human value.
Even though there are some things Christians and non-believers will never agree on.
I don't agree with it, obviously, because I'm a Roman Catholic. But in this country, that's the beauty of this country. We allow it.
Allow people to put their faith in God. Or man. Theron Zahn, Como 4 News.
The opening speaker at Freedom From Religion event was radio host Ron Reagan, son of President Ronald Reagan.
Isn't it nice to be allowed to live in this country?
Listen to our famous Moment of Bedlam from our annual non-prayer breakfast at the Seattle Convention.
Instead of the prayer or a grace or a moment of silence, we have our annual non-prayer breakfast. And this is a chance for you to fight back. How many times have you gone to some function, governmental or school function or whatever, And to your surprise, they get up with this inappropriate religious ritual. And what do? Do you keep your eyes open? Do you stand? Do you sit? Do you feel kind of awkward? Well, this morning is your chance to fight back. Instead of grace, we're going to have our annual non-prayer breakfast, Moments of Bedlam. So think of a way to make some noise, of something to chant or yell or hit or whatever. And we will officially bestow our non-grace upon our breakfast this morning. Are we ready? 4, 3, 2, 1, go! Your meal is now properly consecrated. You can eat.
Well, there you have it. It was a fairly subdued, but it was a fun moment of bedlam. And actually, you did it three times, didn't you? Because we had breakfast in three different places. There were too many people. Now, I'm Annie Laurie Geller with Dan Barker. And on the second half of Free Thought Radio, which is coming right up, Sean Francis Peters will be our guest. He is the author of When Prayer Fails. It's a book documenting the crimes that occur when parents and others rely on faith healing for their children, and why our society needs to say no to the Christian Science Lobby. And we're going to find out what kind of testimony Sean Peters gave just last week in Wisconsin trying to stop a stealth bill that would actually make things worse in our state, masquerading as a repeal. And so we really do need to say no to the Christian Science Lobby.
And we all know that nothing fails like prayer.
So we'll be right back.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Geller with Dan Barker for Free Thought Radio.
And we have as a guest today Sean Francis Peters. He's from Madison, Wisconsin. Over the past century, hundreds of children have died after being denied the basic medical treatments furnished by physicians because of their parents' intense religious beliefs. The book, When Prayer Fails, Faith Healing, Children and the Law, by Sean Francis Peters, is the first book to fully examine this complex web of legal and ethical questions that arise when criminal prosecutions are mounted against parents whose children die as a result of what the experts call religion-based medical neglect. Sean Peters devotes special attention to cases involving the Christian Science religion, which is the source of many religion-based medical neglect deaths. Sean Francis Peters teaches writing and U.S. history at the University of Wisconsin, right here in Madison, Wisconsin. And he's a returning guest, so welcome back to Free Thought Radio, Sean.
Thanks. You know, I wish I could say it's good to be back, and it is, and it isn't. You know, I wish we didn't have to keep returning to this topic, but here we are again.
Now, last week in Madison, Wisconsin, at the state capitol, there you were one of just several experts testifying against a bill that we don't like.
At the state capitol?
At the state capitol in Wisconsin that is threatening to be precedent-making, that could go around the country if it's passed here. Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. Wisconsin currently has an apparent exemption in its child abuse and neglect laws for parents who engage in spiritual healing rituals with their children, and there's a move afoot to revise that law. And one would think that the revision would involve eliminating that exemption completely and just putting everyone on an equal footing and mandating medical treatment. Unfortunately, there's a bill that's been sponsored by a state senator in Wisconsin, Lena Taylor, that actually it claims to clarify the law, but it actually muddies the law even more. And actually, in my view and the view of a lot of other people who have studied this, will make it much harder to prosecute parents who deny, on religious grounds, their children medical treatment. So that was what my testimony at the State Senate last week focused on, were just the flaws in the bill and the just the conceptual problems behind it.
Now, this bill is thoroughly endorsed by the Christian Science Church, so I think that's kind of a giveaway.
Well, I wouldn't even say thoroughly endorsed. I really think that they wrote it. I mean, I studied its predecessor that was put into state law in 1987, and we know that the Christian Science Church wrote the earlier bill word for word,
and around the country, not just
and around
Wisconsin.
The country, exactly. And we, from what I can tell of the version of this new bill that I've seen, it really reads like a Christian Science criminal defense attorney just came up with a wish list of things that they could throw into the criminal code that would protect Christian Science adults.
Now, I am wondering, what is the strange power of this little itty-bitty church? Because there they are asking for privilege in the federal reform of health care, and we're fighting that in the Senate now. And here they are in Wisconsin trying to set up basically, what would you call it, a faith-healing immunity or
all right.
Why do they have so much power?
Well, I think if you know nothing, if you were to not examine their history at all and not review the deaths of the hundreds of children in the church who have died because of their religious practice, you would see people who seem pretty normal, pretty educated, pretty sincere, and you might take what they claim at face value. And unfortunately, that's what's happening in Wisconsin, and it's what happened at this hearing last week, is that their claims about the efficacy of prayer and about how the law should be manipulated to protect them were really taken at face value. Legislators just believed whatever they said. And as a historian, it really perplexes me that no one will take the time to just sort of look at the facts of what has happened when children in this church have become ill or injured, and what happens to them when they're denied conventional medical treatment. That was not something that was talked about in connection with this bill at all, except instead there was a lot of sort of highfalutin rhetoric about freedom of religion and so forth, and very little attention to the reality of the condition of children in the church. And I think that that's unfortunate, is that people are too lazy to kind of just scratch beneath the surface and see what has actually happened.
Now, Rita Swan, whom we've had on this program recently, who runs Children's Healthcare as a Legal Duty in Iowa, she has been in touch with every legislator. She has sent a detailed memo to them about this. So I think it's more than laziness. I mean, I think there's a deference to religion here that is very dangerous.
Oh, that too. I think that politicians, being politicians, often just have a reflexive, reaction, and no one wants to appear to be, persecuting people because of their religious beliefs. And, you know, on one hand, lots of people in this country believe in, the First Amendment. And I think in general, the First Amendment is a good thing, but we've never allowed people free reign to do whatever they want in the name of religion. And that's
to commit crime.
Yeah, exactly. And clearly, neglecting the health of your child to the point that your child dies, to me, is a pretty straightforward crime.
Now, we had this example last year of Kara Newman, whose parents were not Christian Science, but who relied on the exemption in the law for parents in Wisconsin. They have been prosecuted under the criminal code, but they're appealing based on this law. Now, what about the actual, can you give us some Christian Science cases that stand out in your mind that you wrote about in your book?
There are so many. You know, my book was 10 chapters long, and there were so many Christian Science cases that two of the chapters dealt just with Christian Science. So many deaths. I mean, children dying from really preventable ailments, things like, for instance, diabetes, cases involving bowel obstructions, things that any really competent pediatrician would be able to diagnose and treat really very quickly. It's one of the things that sometimes Christian Scientists, in when they defend themselves, they will claim that the illness was, you know, could not have been treated, even if they had wanted to treat the illness with conventional medicine, it wouldn't have been healed. And that's not true. I mean, we see again and again really, really garden variety illnesses that are just left untreated. And so they, there was a case involving a child in Massachusetts named Twitchell. And
that was a big case.
Yeah. And what I remember from that case was that the neighbors of the Twitchells testified that the cries of the child were so loud, the child was in such agony from a bowel obstruction, that they had to close their windows across the way. That was how much agony that child was
in. And that was the case where the judge made that famous comment about, parents can make martyrs of themselves for their religion, but they don't have the right to martyr their own children.
It was a slightly different case. It was a different case in Massachusetts, but that quote that you've had, it's from Justice Wiley Rutledge in a case called Prince versus Massachusetts. It's the most commonly cited phrase. Almost every single judicial opinion in cases like these references that quote about parents are not free to make martyrs of their children. And that's, I wish at this hearing yesterday and or last week and as we move forward, that people would return to that idea about what about the children? What is the state's duty to protect children, rather than what can the state do to let people do whatever they want in the name of religion? What should the state do to protect children? Sometimes that gets lost in this conversation, and it disturbs me both as a scholar and, frankly, just as a parent and as a citizen. The fact that is cut out of the conversation, I find really perplexing.
Now, we just have a couple minutes before the break, but I can't remember if you wrote about the Ian Holmes case in Minnesota. Did you write about the little boy who died of diabetes?
Yeah.
Well, remember
it was Ian Lundman.
Ian Lundman,
Lundman, I did.
Yes.
Yeah, and, you know, that was a case where the parents ultimately were not, the mother and the stepfather were not criminally prosecuted because of an exemption in Minnesota code. And instead, there was a civil suit that was filed by the birth father. Initially there was a large judgment entered against the mother church of Christian Science that was subsequently knocked down on appeal. And it just illustrates how convoluted legally these cases can be. There's a real lack of clarity in the law, and there's a surprising lack of political will and political courage for people to stand up and say, look, we need to fix the law. And we need to really enforce
the law. We need to repeal these exemptions.
Exactly,
a clean repeal is what we need.
Exactly.
Not something that just gives another layer of protection.
And I should note, in Wisconsin, Representative Therese Berceau has, she's in our state assembly, and she has introduced a competing measure that would simply, essentially just be a repeal of the spiritual healing exemption.
But she hasn't been able to get a lot of support out of the Senate, for example. So, and this, to me, is mind-boggling. So we need to keep educating. I'm Annie Laura Gaylor with Dan Barker for Free Thought Radio. We're talking with Sean Francis Peters, author of When Prayer Fails, Faith Healing, Children and the Law, and we'll be right back after this break.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021.
If you don't believe in God, or if you have a problem with organized religion, there is a new radio show just for you. Free Thought Radio.
Nothing fails like prayer. Use your mind and you will find that nothing fails like prayer.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. That's one of the bumper stickers we sell. Nothing fails like prayer. And one that gets scratched off the cars a lot.
And it's a quote coined by my mother, Ann Gaylor.
Nothing fails like prayer.
She never believed it would sell as a bumper sticker.
We're ending our conversation in this final segment of Free Thought Radio with Sean Francis Peters. He's the author of the book, When Prayer Fails, Faith Healing, Children and the Law.
Now, Dan, you had a question you were dying to ask.
Well, you were talking about why legislators are so impressed with the Christian Science. And I have to say, I testified at a hearing in the 90s, and it was packed with
these... In Wisconsin.
It was packed with these people. They did not look like monsters. They were upper-class people, well-dressed. They looked successful. They had these gentle smiles on their face. And you could see this PR image that this church is putting forth to portray themselves as these... maybe even poor, persecuted religious believers.
Oh, sure. I think that there's a real sort of socioeconomic dimension to this, too. I mean, can you imagine if it were a church, I don't know, they were Latino or Hispanic, African-American, or Afro, is there the Santeria Church, which is Afro-Cuban? Do you think that we would have the same deference paid? Absolutely not.
But there's not that many of them, and that's what's I can't figure out.
But they packed the place.
They packed the place.
They do.
But it wasn't that big of a parlor room.
No. Well, and their numbers, are shrinking. And so they're
4,000 max in Wisconsin, and that's probably including the kids.
Right. And so, but they do show up, and they do lobby effectively. There was a similar effort for some repeal and modification in Oregon and a few years back, and one of the legislators there said that he hadn't seen that kind of lobbying since the NRA had lobbied them for anti-gun control.
Now, we're talking with Sean Peters about a proposal. He's the author of When Fail Prayers, about a proposal to supposedly repeal a special exemption to prosecute parents who let their children die by praying instead of taking them to the doctors, but adding this layer of protection in the criminal code for such parents. And I wanted to talk about one of the aspects that they want to add, which was that if you can prove that the parent prayed and didn't take their children to the doctor on good faith, then you couldn't find them guilty. And, you know, when I read that, I thought, well, my gosh, faith is the problem. It doesn't, but don't you, that is very insidious, don't you think, Sean?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it sort of says, well, if you were wrong but really sincere, you're off the hook. And I think in this context, we're going to absolve people of legal guilt because it's a kind of willful ignorance of the power of medical science. And I would never say that medical science is perfect, that it works for everybody, everywhere, all the time. But I think most of us agree that there are some basic things that we know medical science can do and medical treatment can do. And this law...
like insulin.
Yeah, for instance, insulin, you know. And this law sort of, in a way, says, well, as long as you don't pay attention to that, then you can do what you want to your child in the name of religion. And I'm not going to stand up and say, you know, we should outlaw organized religion, or we should, you know, coerce people into doing things that they don't necessarily believe in. But in some cases we do. In some cases we do have to say there is a limit to your religious freedom. And to me, this is clear. It's a life or death thing. And the line should have been drawn a long time ago on this particular issue. The laws should never have gotten this murky in the first place.
Now, we had you on the program last year when Kara Newman died. And again, her parents are not Christian Science, but all they did was pray. She died very slowly of untreated diabetes. There was a great deal of outrage in the state. But I remember one of these editorials a year ago in the Wausau newspaper, which is near where she died, saying there's this great new bill by Senator Taylor that's going to repeal the exemption. That is quite a PR machine by the Christian Science lobby.
Oh, sure. It was like, I can't remember the name of this bill. It was like the open skies and it was like the pro-logging bill in the Bush administration that was called the Free Space and Open Sky Bill. Mm-hmm. It did exactly the opposite of what its title claimed to be, and that is what this bill does. It purports to remove the exemption, and all it does is replace the exemption with an even more gaping hole for the Christian Scientists. You could drive a truck through it.
Now, Sean, you probably researched the Christian Science a little more than I have. My understanding of the Christian Science is that they don't actually believe in illness. They don't acknowledge it. Is that right? Or
They believe that all disease is mental, and that if you're sick, it's not. It's because you. It's a mental. It's a thought problem, not a bodily problem, or the bodily problem is a manifestation of a thought problem. And so that if you engage in, quote, right thinking, as outlined by Mary Baker Eddy, then once your mind gets right, you will be cured.
So what this means is, say you're a child with a sore throat that's actually strep, and you go up to a Christian Science parent, there's very little sympathy.
No, it's interesting, right? Because in some ways, it's the child's fault for wrong thinking. There must be some wrong thinking that the child has brought upon him or herself, this kind of disease, yeah.
So there's probably a lot of psychological scarring going on, too. Now, your book is When Prayer Fails, and people can find that online at bookstores, and it's a very important book. We hope people will look it up.
Well,
thank you so much.
Thank you for speaking up for the rights of children. We also want to thank Brian Terrani, a very special engineer today. Welcome him back to the show.
It's good to be back.
A nine-month break. Welcome back.
So call 1-800-335-4021 or go to ffrf.org for more information and tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, ffrf.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday. And the world.